The scripture is on an insert in your bulletin, or if you prefer to read along from your own Bible or Bible app, we're going to be reading from the 5th chapter of Mark, the first 20 verses. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit," and then asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then he begged Jesus to earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountain, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him that had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled. This is a story that captures the imagination, as many of the scriptures do. Now, Mark is a very fast-paced book. He writes from one miracle, from one healing to another. He's writing to the newly... Thank you. To the new believers, and mostly to those in Rome. So he's writing to people who have a little bit of knowledge of power. In this chapter, we find Jesus and his disciples moving to the eastern side of the Lake of Galilee. And immediately, as Jesus comes out of the boat, you know, they're in a place where they haven't been before. Jesus gets out of the boat, and this man comes running down. He recognized Jesus. Was it the man who recognized him? I think it was the demons, the unclean spirit, who recognized him. And he was there to see what Jesus was up to, because it might kind of disrupt his whole plan for things. He had had years to torment this man, it doesn't say in the story how long the man had been tormented, but I think we can kind of guess that it had been a long time. The man was living in not normal places. He was living among the tombs, the places where they had buried their dead. And up in the mountains, he was, today we would probably recognize it as a mental illness, and they would give him some pills or some kind of medication. But Jesus recognized more of the truth about what was going on. And it fascinates me that the man comes, bows before Jesus and worships him. But the first words out of his mouth aren't, "Praise you, Lord." It's, "What are you going to do to me?" You know. Jesus recognized the spirit that was in him, that it was the wrong one. And he told that spirit to come out. And then he asked the spirit's name. And it replied, "Legion, for we are many." Now, legion is a term used by the Roman army and equates to about 6,000 men. Now, I don't know if that means there are 6,000 demons within this man, but there's definitely a lot who can. You know, one of the ways that Satan torments us is to bring up things that we've done in the past that we're not proud of, things that we could have done another way or wish we'd done another way or we had reached out. We don't know this man's past, but the demons had been tormenting him to the point where he was cutting himself. Kind of rings a bell with what's going on with our younger generation. But at any rate, they didn't want Jesus to send them out of the country. I don't know if there were passport issues among the demons or not, but they begged to go into the pigs instead. Now we know this is not a Jewish community because the Jews were forbidden to eat pork and they wouldn't be raising a whole herd of them. So they went into the swine and immediately they all ran down the hill and were killed. Now those pigs were somebody's property. The scripture says there were people there in charge of who were feeding them, like a shepherd would a flock of sheep. And now they were all dead. I looked it up, and in today's pork market, pigs are sold at $61 per 100 pounds. So if the average pig in this group weighed around 300 pounds, 2,000 pigs, that herd would have been worth somewhere in the vicinity of $360,000 today. The owner wouldn't be too happy to have that much money gone, and I don't think the owner then was too happy. What usually happens when Jesus, because this isn't the first time he's had an unclean spirit out, but usually when Jesus performs a miracle, whether it's calling out a spirit or bringing somebody back from the dead or healing them of a multitude of diseases and ailments, the people get excited. They crowd around Jesus asking, you know, can you cure me too? Can you cure my grandma, my aunt, whomever? Can you come? And they want to know more about who he is and what he can do. These people had a different reaction. They were afraid. He had just taken a lot of money out of somebody's pocket And it seems that they were more afraid of what might happen to their economy if he hung around than the good that he could do if he stayed. They begged him to leave. Most people beg him to stay longer. You know, crowds had followed him to the point where twice he fed thousands of people. Once with 5 loaves of bread, another time with 7. These people weren't interested in the food that Jesus had to give them. They wanted him out of town. And so he left. He and his disciples got back in the boat. And as he had just stepped foot inside, this man who had been tormented for so long and who was now free, when people saw him, he was in his right mind. He was clothed. He was able to speak, to carry on a conversation. And he was now begging, "Jesus, let me go with you. Let me stay with you and learn more." And Jesus said no. He said, "You go back home. You tell people what has happened here. Go tell your family and your friends what the Lord has done for you. Tell them about the compassion he has shown you to rid you of this horror that's been your life for so long." So the man went back. And Jesus went on his way. And as often, the scripture doesn't tell us what happens next. It doesn't say what happened to the man. But I think he changed the lives of many. And I'm sure that he sought out more information about Jesus so that he had, there were people who were converted because of this, despite the rest of the town's reaction. It's a short story, but I think there are some things that we can take away from it. First, there's no doubt that Jesus is God. That was one of Mark's priorities when he wrote his book, to let people know that this man who walked the earth, who healed and who talked to the people, who showed them compassion and love, he is God. He is the Son of the All-High God. He is able to do anything that the Father can do because he and the Father are one. Now we know that he died on the cross for our sins, for all of us, for everyone from that time forward. And we know that because we believe that, we have the opportunity to spend eternity with Jesus. And just as the man who was tormented by Legion, we can also, he was given the task to tell others about Jesus, and we can do that too. We may not get up in front of large crowds, but we can share stories with family and with friends. Maybe little stuff at the beginning, but if we, as we continue to grow in our faith and ask God to give us confidence and strength and just that, put one foot forward and speak something here, you know, God will let you know when and where. But we have that ability, the same as that man. It takes a little confidence. And we can also take note of the reaction of the people. They let their material goods get in the way of something much more important, of the gifts of that Jesus had for them all. They could have had such a different experience if they had let him stay. But they made their choice. And we have to be sure that we're carving out our own time with him, that we take the time to spend in prayer and in just in his presence, so that we're always prioritizing him above everything else. So that's the message for this morning. Let's take a moment to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture and for all that it can teach us. Each time we read it, we'll find a little nugget more, as we do with all Scripture. You can't ever find everything in the first 5 readings or 10 readings. And we thank you that you have all the layers there, then that as we spend time with you, you open these other doors for us. Help us to remember to let nothing come between us and you and the time spent with you and with your son. Give us the courage to speak up when we have the opportunity, and let that courage grow until we're able to shout the good news from our rooftops or in our living rooms. We ask that you keep us safe from harm. You are such a good God, and your mercy is so great. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we ask all this. Amen.